Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Are you ready?
I don't know what we're yelling at!
You have to be intelligent.
Coming from a man who once dyed his hair blue.
Oh, that was way harsh.
He's not afraid to tell you how it is.
It is my show.
Boom, boom, boom.
His favorite player of all time is Rob Mikowiak.
You gotta be paping me.
Okay, we might have made that up. You're listening to Kevin Zipak.
Wheels come off the Joe Madden hippie van that they're riding around in.
On 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm here most Sunday mornings, I guess you could say. And I'm here right now. So, how we doing? Hope everybody's having a wonderful weekend. Weather turned up a little bit over the past couple of days, which is always nice. There was baseball yesterday in Arizona. The Cubs played. The White Sox did not. Get into both of those things as we progress throughout the program today. The phone number is, as always, 312-644-6767. That is 312-644-6767. You can also send me a text message, as always, at 67011. And you can tweet me as well at Kevbo_. My producer today is Sean Anderson. Sean, hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
What's your Twitter thing there?
Sean_W_Anderson.
Ah, that's right. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
And I dropped all my reads at the beginning of the show, so I was in a little bit of a frenzy, but then Sean told me I don't actually have to read any of them until 8 o'clock. So for the next 58 minutes, I could have left these papers down the seedy underbelly of the studio here.
Were they scattered, or was it just underneath the computer?
No, they weren't scattered. They did not scatter. They just kind of all plopped down there underneath the computer. But the way that the studio is set up, it's tricky sometimes to be able to get where you need to go. But I digress. As I said yesterday, the Cubs won. Well, actually, I didn't say that they won. I said that they played. But now I'm telling you that they won their spring opener against the Oakland Athletics by a score of 12-2. It was the much anticipated debut of the Marquee Sports Network, which, how do I put this diplomatically? The rollout of this thing hasn't gone great, I think it's fair to say, and there were some problems reported yesterday with the broadcast. Obviously, there's still no deal with Xfinity and Comcast, so you couldn't watch it there, but I heard a lot of complaints and problems that some DirecTV customers were having yesterday as well. If you just kind of go through the Marquee Twitter feed there, pretty much the replies on every single one of their tweets is, I can't see this, I have this service, I have this, I can't see the game, what the hell's going on, thanks for this. And it wasn't very great, but the Cubs did win by a score of 12-2, as I said. If anybody watched this game yesterday, and it's funny because all week long, and actually for the past couple of weeks, given some of the fan disapproval or inavailability of the Marquee Sports Network, we kept saying, hey, you could listen to the game here on The Score. It's for free. You could just turn on the radio and you can listen to the game on The Score. It's going to be great. Something happened yesterday and we couldn't air the game on The Score. were liars.
It was supposed to air at like 1.
Sure.
It was supposed to go on at 1, and then the weather in Arizona, it rained, you know, 6 out of the 365.
When does that ever happen? Yeah.
I think it happens every now and then.
I didn't think it ever happened.
I don't think it snows there, but I think it's got to rain at least once or twice.
Well, it snows in the mountains, but not in the valley. Have you been out there?
No.
Okay. I have, damn it. And it snowed. No, it doesn't snow in Scottsdale or Tempe or pretty much anywhere around Peoria, wherever the Cubs and the White Sox plays. But the White Sox were rained out yesterday. The Cubs eventually got their game in. But due to the delay there in the broadcast of the game, we weren't able to bring that game to you here on The Score. So you were only able to see it on the Marquee Sports Network. So like I said, if you saw it or if you didn't want to see or if you did want to see it and you weren't able to, I want to hear people's first experiences with the Marquee Sports Network here this morning. Very interested to see how the broadcast, you know, kind of came across. I know some of the talent that they have brought in there. Some new, some old, some familiar, some that you're going to have to get used to a little bit. I know everybody knows Len Casper and Mark Grace, but maybe Taylor McGregor is a new face for you coming along as the sideline reporter. So if anybody had an experience yesterday with the Marquee Network, let me know this morning. I'd love to talk to you about that. Health-wise, Brandon Morrow, the beleaguered, oft-injured Cubs reliever, is once again injured. He was already not really in line to start the season. It was always kind of a long shot after the last couple of years of him being hurt to try to get back to 100%, but apparently he's had a setback. No big surprise there. As I said, the White Sox spring opener, they were supposed to play the Angels yesterday, and they were canceled, postponed. I don't think they make up the games in spring training, so maybe not postponed. I think it was just canceled. But yeah, it was raining in Arizona yesterday, weirdly enough, and a lot of the games actually got canceled. But there was still some Sox news that has been emerging from over the weekend. The Sox locking up Aaron Bummer to a 5-year extension worth $16 million, I believe, which in baseball terms doesn't seem like a lot, but in like real life terms, huge amount of money. So congratulations to Aaron Bummer, who had a really, really great season last year for the Sox. Earned that deal, and hopefully he can be a big part of the Sox bullpen once again. And Leury García, Mr. Utility, also got a contract extension from the Sox. I didn't watch the boxing last night, but apparently Tyson Fury beat Deontay Wilder, 7th round TKO. I was going to watch it. I had the means to do so, but it started so damn late that I just really couldn't deal with it. But apparently Tyson Fury is your heavyweight champion of the world. The Blackhawks played today at Dallas, and the Bulls lost again yesterday, and they lost to the Suns. 112-104 was the final score. 8th loss in a row for the Bulls. That's not really the story that the Bulls lost. That happens all the time. We're kind of used to that. But there was another Jim Boylan boneheaded timeout moment at the end of this game that really, really ticked off Zach LaVine. Apparently, he was visibly angry, and apparently the two of them had a one-on-one meeting after the game, an airing of grievances perhaps. I don't know. I'll get into that a little bit later. But I do want to start the conversation off this morning, as I said, with the Marquee Sports Network and the Cubs spring training schedule opening. If anybody watched the game, if anybody was unable to watch the game, let me know how that went. 312-644-6767. And as always, we will start off the show with our personal leadoff man, our Chris Bryant, if you will, Kevin in Palatine. Good morning, Kevin. What's up?
I like being the leadoff man. That's great.
There you go, man. Set the table. You go,
good
we go.
Good morning. So the whole thing yesterday was glorious. Watched every pitch. Beautiful graphics. Beautiful. Everything about it was perfect. So I know 95% of the people who don't like it are going to call and complain. It was glorious. Wilson Contreras' majestic home run. Everything about it is perfect. The camera angles, love that Grace was on there. I liked all the stuff before, liked the stuff after. And, you know, for everyone who's going to complain about, well, what's going to be on when the Cubs aren't playing, go and click on your Comcast today. There's all kinds of promos for air fryers and Emerald and way to get your teeth fixed. There's 12 hours of infomercials on Comcast Sportsnet. So everyone who's wringing their hands over Marquee, Comcast has garbage on 18 hours a day too. So NBC Sports, there's nothing on there when the teams aren't playing. So for my experience, completely glorious, awesome, great way to start the season. Also watched the Fury fight. He beat that guy insane. So it was a lovely night. I know the next 10 callers will all come in and say it's the worst thing that's ever happened in the world, but my experience was glorious. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate you checking in from Palatine. And that's somewhat surprising to me. I guess it shouldn't be that surprising to me, as some of the text rolling in as well saying, you know, I have AT&T U-verse. It worked great. I approve that, coming from the 630. And some other people on Twitter have also checked in saying that they've had no problems with the network. I mean, it's just been one day, but they haven't had any issues getting it. Of course, whenever you roll out a television network like this, it's such a grand undertaking, I guess you could say. Of course, there's going to be bumps along the way. And I know that if you are a Comcast subscriber, which most of this market is, you are still probably a little bit peeved that the negotiations have not worked out yet, and there has not been a deal. Of course, we still have a long ways to go before opening day, a little over a month. March 26th, I want to say, is the MLB opening day this year. So there's plenty of time there. And if you saw it yesterday, and or if you didn't see it yesterday, I really just want to know your experience with it. People on Twitter, like I said, have been mostly negative, but that's Twitter. That's kind of what you expect from Twitter, is mostly negativity from anonymous accounts or people with, you know, dog avatars or anything like that. But so far, so good. This morning, we have the approval of one Kevin from Palatine, as well as some texters as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 67011 is how you send a text message here to us at the Score. And I believe yesterday as well, funny enough, and maybe funny is not the right word, but David Ross, new Cubs manager, after the Joe Maddon era, which was, I mean, let's be honest, probably the most successful tenure, managerial tenure of any Cub manager in the last century or so. Not only in 2016, of course, we know what happened at the end of the year, but getting to the NLCS 3 years in a row, winning so many games along the way. Now David Ross is in here replacing a historical manager. And David Ross, I'm sure, was all set yesterday out in Arizona to get going, to get in the dugout, really kind of that first real experience, even though it's still spring training, that first real experience as the Cubs manager. And apparently David Ross missed the game yesterday, went home with flu-like symptoms. So Andy Green was your Cubs manager yesterday, mean Andy Green, and he powered the Cubs to a 12-2 win over the Oakland Athletics. You can't take a ton away from really anything that goes on in spring training, let alone the first game. I'm not going to sit here and break down the Cubs' 12-2 victory over the A's and give you every single player that played in the game, because there were about 100 of them. That's the way spring training goes. But you did get a little bit of a preview of maybe what's to come as you saw Chris Bryant step into the box as the leadoff man yesterday. Even just, you know, seeing the lineup come out for the first time, it's a really cool thing for a baseball fan here in toward the end of February to just see a real lineup again. And I know, you know, Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras, Baez, you know, the usual suspects that you're going to see in there starting every day for the Cubs. They only took a couple at bats. That's just the way it goes. But it's nice to have that baseball feeling kind of reinvigorating us here as we start to hopefully count down the days of winter and start to emerge a little bit more in some nice weather. 312-644-6767 is the phone number once again. You can tweet me at Kevbo _, and of course send us a text message at 67011 as well. We're going to be right back here very shortly with a little bit of Cubs sound that I want to take a listen to as well, and I still want to hear some thoughts on the Marquee Network yesterday. If you saw it, the big debut, what channel was it on? Were you able to see it? Let me know. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. My name's Kevin Zipek. I'm here until 9 this morning on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We keep talking like this is like an obvious, great choice. So what took so long? What's the downside?
I mean, the downside is you have two power hitters hitting. It's just not your old school mentality anymore, I think. Like if you asked Chris or me, prototypically, we would have hit third and fourth with guys getting on base first, the leadoff hitter getting on, the second hitter, like a Zobrist, getting guys over and stuff. But now we get to set the tone. We get to set the tone, and we get to hopefully get on so guys behind us can have monster production years as well.
I mean, I've always been willing to do it. I've never said I wouldn't or any of that. You know, but I think Joe was just comfortable putting me in the two hole and leaving me there. You know, but yeah, I mean, I think I've demonstrating to you guys over the past that I'll do anything. So it's not my nature to say I wouldn't do anything.
Welcome back in to 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. You're hanging out until 9 o'clock this morning. On the way in there, you heard first the voice of Cubs first baseman Anthony Rizzo, and then after that, the voice of Cubs third baseman and leadoff man Chris Bryant discussing their new roles in the Cubs lineup going into this 2020 year, the inaugural season of David Ross. And I think that, you know, going from Joe Maddon to David Ross, we all kind of knew that there would be some changes going on, probably not wholesale changes. There weren't going to, you know, David Ross isn't going to come in and start tearing down the wallpaper and ripping up carpets and reinventing the wheel or anything like that. It's still fairly straightforward, but some of the people out there in Cubby land, if you will, there was a little bit of blowback that I saw when the news came out about Chris Bryant being the Cubs leadoff man this season. And then a couple days later, it was revealed that Anthony Rizzo would be hitting right behind him in the order. Again, a little bit of blowback just because it's not the conventional thing, as you heard Rizzo say there in the cut that we played coming back. It's not that old school kind of traditional baseball mentality where you have, you know, a Zobrist or a Fowler or somebody like that, a guy who, you know, Fowler hit some home runs as well, but his purpose as a leadoff man was essentially to work a good at bat and get on base. That is ideally what you want your leadoff man to do. And Chris Bryant is certainly capable of that, but he also hits, you know, 30 plus home runs last year, and he's got a ton of power, and he is traditionally a guy that you would see hitting third or fourth or fifth or as Joe Maddon put him, second in the order a lot as well. Same goes with Anthony Rizzo. I mean, this guy is as consistent of a power hitter as anybody in the National League, and now you have him up there near the top of the order. And if you didn't see the game yesterday, again, I don't know what anybody's experience was with the Marquee Network. I'm interested to see how the launch went for you personally. If you were at home, you know, anticipating this and wanting to watch the game itself in this touted Ernie Banks documentary that we heard about for weeks on end, if you saw it or if you were unable to see it, I'd love to know how that went for you with the Marquee Sports Network launching officially yesterday. But the lineup was as follows. It was Chris Bryant leading off, followed by Anthony Rizzo, and then Javi Baez was hitting third, Jason Hayward in the cleanup spot ahead of Wilson Contreras, who hit fifth. After that, you had Jason Kipnis at second, Steven Souza in left hitting seventh. David Bodie was your designated hitter yesterday. Albert Almora Jr. hit ninth and played center. I would imagine 1 through 5, that's probably close to what you're going to see this year for the Cubs. I mean, I don't know about Jason Hayward hitting in the cleanup spot consistently. That might just be something they did yesterday because it's spring training and you're not going to throw out your complete batting order right off the bat. But Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, I would assume that's going to be how the Cubs line up on opening day. 1 through 3, Wilson Contreras down there in the 5-hole, a little lower than I would like to see him. I know I've always had a lot of
a lot of time for Wilson Contreras. I think he's a fantastic player. He's had some injury issues over the last couple of years, missing chunks of the season, and obviously that's not good. But at the plate, he's as dangerous as a hitter as they have in this lineup. I would rather see him hitting third or fourth instead of Baez or Hayward, for that matter. But, I mean, for the most part, I think this is what you're going to see at the top of the order this year for the Cubs, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez. And it is not maybe the most conventional thing, but I think it's smart. You just stack your best hitters at the top of the lineup, and through the nature of the game, they're going to get more at-bats than anybody else. And that's kind of what you're looking for. Just give them more opportunities. Sure, Chris Bryant might not get as many chances with guys on base ahead of him as he did in the past when he was hitting second or third or fourth, you know, in that more of a traditional RBI spot. He's probably not going to get as many opportunities this year. But if you're down by a run and the lineup flips over again in the ninth inning and Brian is able to get that extra at bat and he's able to have that extra opportunity, you know, to tie the game up with one swing, which he is more than capable of doing, you know, that's the idea of it. It's not the, you know, the slappy little bunt single leadoff man anymore that's going to try to, you know, it's not Scott Podsednik. He's not going to try to bunt for a single and steal second and then get bunted over by Tadahito Oguchi. So you have him on third with one out. They're not playing small ball, is what I'm trying to say here. The Cubs are not going to try to bunt anybody to death. They're not going to be trying to steal a lot of bases. They're going to put their best hitters up at the top of the lineup, and they're going to try to thwack the ball as much as possible. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. Once again, you can send in a text at 67011. 773 texter says, how about a little White Sox chatter? That is coming later in the program. If you've ever listened to me before, you know that I am a big White Sox fan, and I like to pepper in White Sox talk as much as possible. At 8 o'clock this morning, I will be talking to Jim Margulis of Sox Machine, who, again, if you've listened to the station, you're familiar with Sox Machine. We've had Josh Nelson on the show plenty of times before, not only on this program, but, you know, throughout the week on the Mully and Haw show. I know we like to get those guys on as well. So we will be talking White Sox later in the program at 8 o'clock. And feel free to check in with any White Sox thoughts up until then as well. 815 texter, isn't Baez going to be slowed down having a subpar runner in front of him, referring to Anthony Rizzo? I don't know by slowed down, like at the plate. I don't think it's going to slow down Javi Baez at all. Baez is a very exciting player. He's a dynamic player. He's one of the more, you know, flashy guys in the league, if you want to put it that way. Certainly when it comes to his defense and just kind of the charisma that Javier Baez has. I love watching the guy play, don't get me wrong, but I think at the plate, he can be a little one-dimensional. He can be a little flawed. He is sometimes a bit of an all-or-nothing approach at the plate. But I think if Baez and Rizzo get on base in front of him, you know, that's going to make it easier for him to hit. So I could see the appeal there. If I'm putting the Cubs lineup out there, I'd probably put Contreras in the third spot. I think he's a better hitter, a better all-around hitter, I should say. I should specify that, than Javier Baez. But I get the idea of having your top two on-base guys in Bryant and Rizzo, who more often than not will be on base, to make it a little bit easier for Baez. So the pitcher can't work around him the same way he would if the bases were empty. So I get the idea there of having Baez hitting right behind your best two on-base guys. I totally understand that. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. I've got some more thoughts on the lineup construction and David Ross and what he wants to do this year, but let's go to Greg. He's downtown, wants to comment on the Marquee Network and the launch yesterday. Good morning, Greg. What's going on?
Good morning. How you doing?
Great. What's up?
Great to have baseball back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just a few quick comments. I caught it on DirecTV last night. The camera angles, everything were great. The graphics were lacking a little bit, in my opinion. You're so accustomed to looking up into the upper right-hand or upper left-hand corner for all the information, and it was down at the bottom. But what was missing, which I think all baseball fans have come accustomed to, is the strike zone box. It didn't appear at all. And also the pitch speed. They had the pitch count, but they didn't have the pitch speed. So I hope they're going to be adding that. I was like one of the other callers. I watched it, the run-up to the game. I watched most of the game and some of the post-game. And it was good to hear Gracie again. He's kind of stumbled at the beginning, but had some good analysis with JD and Lynn.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much for checking in, Greg, here in downtown Chicago. Two satisfied customers, I think you could say, so far that have checked in on the phone line anyway. Of course, there are always going to be varying degrees of complaints and what have you on Twitter. But so far, from what we've heard from a couple callers and a few texters as well, they haven't had any problems. If they were able to see it, then they were enjoying it for the most part. And there will be little tweaks along the way, Greg, like the stuff you mentioned, stuff that baseball fans have been accustomed to, you know, just a little simple thing. Like, I mean, the pitch speed, I think that's huge. You're going to have that. And like I said, I did not see the broadcast of the game on television yesterday, so I can't speak to what I particularly saw or didn't see. You know, I am an Xfinity guy, so there's literally no way for me to see it through legal means, I guess we'll say. But if there was not a pitch speed on there, I think that is something that they will have to add. I mean, that's kind of something that has been around in every broadcast for so long now that it would be jarring if you were watching a game and you weren't able to see that. But in terms of graphics and little extra things and little, you know, icing and cherries on top of your cakes and everything, it kind of seems like it will be a work in progress. And it was the first day. Granted, the rollout of this thing, like I said earlier, has not gone well. There have been many problems and there will continue to be some. But I think in terms of a baseball broadcast, it's pretty straightforward. And they will be taking constructive criticism, I'm sure, along the way and be tweaking things that the fans tell them that they want or that they need or that they're used to. Because this is, according to Tom Ricketts himself, this is going to be the greatest fan experience conduit that we've ever seen. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I don't think he said the word conduit. It's just one of my favorite words. Paul is in Lake Forest this morning. Good morning, Paul. What's up?
Hey, good morning. Good show.
Thank you.
Didn't watch it, won't watch it. Baseball's become way too boring for me. Okay. But that's just my opinion. I know a little bit about the game, though. What they did last night with the lineup reveals the agenda that Theo and Hoyer have been trying to push there for a couple of years on Madden, and he resisted, and that's why he's gone. They say $5.2 million also, $6 million versus $800,000. And you got Theo here reinventing the wheel, just like Nagy has done. So how well that does.
Appreciate the call. Thank you for checking in, Paul, in Lake Forest this morning. I don't agree that David Ross is, and Theo are reinventing the wheel or anything like that. I mean, I think Chris Bryant as a leadoff man is certainly, like we said earlier, it's not completely traditional, but I don't think it's that, I almost just said a bad word. I don't think it's that bat stuff crazy whatsoever. I think it makes sense. It's a guy who is going to walk probably more than anybody else. It's going to be a guy who will always give the pitcher a tough at bat. He's a great base runner. You know, Chris Bryant isn't a burner or anything like that, and he's not going to be stealing a lot of bases, but he's a very smart base runner, maybe the smartest one they have on the team. I do like what you brought up there regarding the difference between Madden and David Ross, though, and I kind of alluded to that earlier. Is it David Ross that wants to hit Chris Bryant in the leadoff spot with Anthony Rizzo right behind him, or is that something that Theo Epstein had been wanting to do for a couple of years, however many years Joe Madden was here? Maybe that's something Theo always had in mind. And now with David Ross as the manager, who, for better or worse, and these aren't my words, it's just a lot of people have been calling Ross a puppet or things like that, or he will just be, you know, listening to the front office and Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, and basically they will be the ones making the lineup out, and David Ross is just there to sit in the dugout and make changes on the pitching mound every now and then. I think there's some degree of truth to that, possibly. I think there's going to be more collaboration between the manager and the front office. Certainly some of the things you've heard also since Madden was, I don't want to say fired, his contract ran out, he just wasn't brought back. But some of the things you've heard from both Madden and Epstein and Hoyer since the departure of Joe Madden is that
for the last couple of years, maybe they didn't agree on things as much as they did earlier in the tenure. They were kind of in lockstep initially, and then maybe things kind of digressed the other direction in the past couple of years. So maybe it's Theo Epstein that wants Chris Bryant to lead off. Maybe it wasn't David Ross. Maybe they both agree. You know, who knows? I'm sure as the year bores on, we'll be able to find out more of Ross's tendencies and some of the things that, you know, he personally, particularly in in-game decisions, because that's not really something that the president and the general manager can really have a say in. If it's an in-game pitching change or anything like that, I suppose they could communicate with one another, but usually that's going to be up to the manager. 312-644-6767. Marina in Round Lake has some thoughts on the Marquee Network. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm fine, thanks. I wanted to comment the strike box that the previous gentleman had mentioned, mm-hmm. and the graphics. I found it very difficult to find. Where's the pitch count? There's no speed. Yeah, I agreed with that. But my problem was that the audio didn't agree. I don't know what the word is, but it didn't agree with their lips.
Wasn't syncing up properly.
And so I have U-verse, and I hope that's not a U-verse issue, that it was the broadcast issue. But it's very disconcerting when you're seeing their mouths move and then the words come, you know. That I found that to be so annoying. But I did enjoy the broadcast. I thought it was well done. Like I said, just a few little tweaks maybe. I think it'd be great.
Awesome. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in from Round Lake this morning. If your audio is not syncing up, yeah, that's going to be a big problem. That could also be on your end, though. Sometimes my TV, it's a few years older, and I have to actually flip the channel back and forth to get the audio to sync up. It's kind of janky. I know. Sorry, Sean. You have to look at me like that. It's an old TV.
How old is it?
I got it in 2014, so it's about 6 years old.
It shouldn't be doing that, Kev.
Also, sometimes it will just turn off and on repeatedly by itself, which is a real pain in the backside when I'm trying to play like a video game online, because you can't pause when you're playing online. You know, it's just it's a real life thing. So sometimes the TV will just turn off and on as I'm playing FIFA or something, whatever I'm doing, and that's also aggravating. But I digress. Maybe, hopefully, if the audio is not syncing up, it could be something with your TV. Bear that in mind as well. But with the first day of the new network launching, you obviously never know about what sort of issues that there will be. And I'm sure that, like I said earlier, they're going to be taking note of the criticism, the constructive criticism, not the outlandish, you know, I hate the Marquee Network, whatever happened to my games on WGN, get off my lawn sort of people. There will always be out there. But 773 texter says the audio is an HDMI handshaking issue. I don't know what that means. 630 texter says Hayward hitting fourth and that's not crazy? ? It's a spring training game. And I said the top three, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez is probably what you're going to see. Contreras fifth probably as well. But I would imagine if Kyle Schwarber was playing in that game yesterday, he would be the one hitting fourth probably rather than Jason Hayward. And I think Jason Hayward this year in particular, I know he hit 20 home runs last year, but for the money that he's making and the inconsistency of his plate performance, I'm interested to see how long that David Ross sticks with him in right field. I know they don't have a ton of other options there. They're not going to sign anybody this late into the season. It doesn't look like they're going to make any trades until the trade deadline gets a little bit closer and they decide what they are for this season, whether they're going to be buyers and sellers. But, you know, Jason Hayward's only halfway through his contract, and he is making quite a bit of money. And I don't want to single him out, but I guess that's what I'm doing right here. You can point to that contract as a huge reason the Cubs have kind of been handcuffed in free agency over the past couple of seasons. I mean, an 8-year deal to a guy who essentially offers you next to nothing at the plate, who is a very good right fielder, don't get me wrong, but pretty much an average center fielder when they had to move him there last year to accommodate Nick Castellanos. And if for any reason they have to move him back to center again this year, he loses a lot of his value that he brings defensively. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how long the leash is on Jason Hayward. If he can perform at an average level at the plate, that's going to give him a lot of leeway because his defense in right is very good, and I'm sure that David Ross values that as well. But even when Jason Hayward wasn't hitting whatsoever, during spells of the season in 2016, 2017, when Joe Maddon was here, he was still pretty much playing every day. And I don't know if David Ross is going to feel the same way about Jason Hayward as Joe Maddon did. So it will be something else to keep an eye on there in terms of the Cubs lineup. And no, I don't think him hitting fourth will be a consistent thing or something you even see in the regular season very often unless, you know, a lot of injuries take place or what have you. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here once again. If you want to check in on the Cubs, their decision to hit Bryant and Rizzo 1-2 in the order. It seems like that has kind of divided opinion a little bit. If you watched the broadcast yesterday, the debut of the Marquee Network, we've mostly heard positive things. There have been a few minor complaints from some of the... What was that?
A misfire.
That was a misfire?
I was searching something and I actually clicked the high keys.
I thought that you were starting to do a new bit or something, and you were just going to start playing weird random sounds as I was speaking.
That's exactly what it was.
You
it was
should, though. I mean, that'd keep me on my toes. If you've got any thoughts on the Marquee Network and their debut yesterday, I'd love to hear them at 312-644-6767. 773 texture says, in regards to Marina, who did not have her audio syncing yesterday, that that is a common issue for HDMI cables, that HDCP 2.0 and lower. I don't know what that means. And I fancied myself as a tech-savvy person, but that's a little too in-depth for me. Greg is in Tinley Park. Good morning, Greg. What's going on?
Yeah, I would make maybe one minor change. I mean, not totally. When Hayward's in the lineup, I might want to bat him second and put Rizzo, who's more of an RBI guy, in the cleanup spot. Hayward's got good bat control too, and plus he's a little faster than Rizzo, so we're talking about not clogging up the base path. So that's just my thought.
Thank you very much for checking in from Tinley Park, Greg. Appreciate the call. You know, they tried Jason Hayward hitting first and second at certain points last year, and you would think hypothetically the two hole would be perfect for a guy like Hayward who can run a little bit, who can walk a little bit. But, you know, the idea, like I said, with putting Bryant and Rizzo up there is just, you know, having them get the opportunity for one extra at bat late in the game for when the lineup rolls over and, you know, you get Bryant up there or Rizzo up there, you know, in a one-run game with a shot to tie it up, you know, in the eighth or the ninth inning when their fifth at bat rolls around. It's not so much the older mentality, or I don't even want to say older, but a more traditional mentality of, you know, setting the table and then having your 3, 4, 5 guys knock those guys in. I think it's just about getting your best hitters as many at-bats as possible, and I absolutely have no problem with it. 312-644-6767, once again, is the phone number here. 670-11 is how you check in. And now a 630 texter says that the HDMI claim is bad info. So we have a fight breaking out on the text line here regarding HDMI cables and sound not syncing up on the Marquee Network. But I want to know about your experience with it. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. At 8 o'clock, we will talk White Sox with Jim Margulis. But up until then, want to talk a little bit more Cubs with you. Not only the lineup, not necessarily the lineup that they put out there yesterday, but the construction of the lineup, given the fact that we know that Bryant and Rizzo will be 1 and 2, ostensibly followed by Javier Baez, as you saw yesterday. Contreras hit fifth, Hayward hit fourth. Again, that probably won't happen routinely in the regular season, but I do think it's interesting. Already you're kind of seeing the changes in philosophy and in the lineup between Joe Maddon and David Ross. My name is Kevin Zipak. I will be hanging out here this morning until 9 o'clock, and you can talk to me. I'd love it, in fact. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. More coming up next here on 670 The Score. Welcome back on in, everybody. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. I am here until 9 o'clock this morning. Sean Anderson is my producer. He's doing an adequate job, I suppose. At 8 o'clock, I will talk to Jim Margulis
of Sox Machine. We will talk about a bevy of White Sox issues because I have a lot of, I don't want to say concerns, because I am as optimistic as anybody about the White Sox here for the 2020 season. I'm very confident that the team will be better than they were not only last year, but in the few preceding years since the big trades in 2016 of Chris Sale to the Boston Red Sox, Adam Eaton being traded to the Washington Nationals. It was about a year after. It was, I think, at the trade deadline in 2017 when Quintana was traded to the Cubs. But that's kind of when the White Sox embarked down this rebuild path. And there was a little bit of, I don't want to say anger, but there were some voices out there that didn't like the idea of doing a full tear down, strip everything, rebuild, start from scratch type thing with the current leadership and front office structure that's in place. I think that fans, for the most part, seemingly are in favor of a rebuild, of a complete tear down when the situation is right. If you are just kind of spinning your wheels, not going anywhere, you don't have a good farm system, you have bad contracts tied up, you have a few assets that are attractive to other teams, but not enough of them to actually make your own team competitive, which is where the White Sox were after that 2016 season. I get it. You know, sometimes you have to just go a different way and you have to kind of grit and bear it for a few years as the team rebuilds its assets, which is what the White Sox did. And hopefully they were able to do it successfully. I think that remains to be seen this year and in the coming years as well. But I think what a lot of White Sox fans were upset about from the Sale trade, the Eaton trade, eventually the Quintana trade, was that it was this same structure in place with Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn. You know, why are they getting another shot to dig out of this hole? They're the ones that dug the hole in the first place. If you're trying to get out of where you were from, shouldn't you bring somebody else in? And I get that, and I wasn't completely on board with it. You know, I think Kenny Williams, for all of his criticism and all of the warts that come along with Kenny, and I know a lot of people feel certain ways about Kenny Williams, but I don't think he's an idiot. I think he's, you know, he knows the game of baseball. He knows how to build teams. He knows what a good player looks like to a certain point. Maybe his embrace of modern technology and analytics isn't quite up to snuff or what you'd like to see from some of these more forward-thinking organizations, but Kenny is in that kind of GM emeritus role where he's not really the general manager. He's like the president of baseball operations. Rick Hahn is the general manager, and I guess he's the one making most of the decisions, but I'm sure Kenny is still there as well, and they are certainly in lockstep. I'm sure Rick Hahn doesn't make any moves without consulting Kenny Williams first, but to this point, and it kind of came together a little bit more quickly than people perhaps would have thought after, you know, suffering through 17, 18, and 19. The White Sox, it looks like anyway, in that American League Central, are going to be able to compete as soon as this year. And they made some aggressive moves in the offseason, not only bringing in, you know, Dallas Keuchel and Edwin Encarnacion and signing Luis Robert to that extension, getting him all primed to start in opening day in center field, one of the more exciting prospects in baseball. You know, the White Sox now have kind of put their money where their mouth has been, and they have always been kind of consistent in saying that when we're ready, you'll know and we'll know, and then that's when we're going to start signing big free agents. They missed out on Manny Machado last year, which I still don't like. You know, they could have done anything and everything that they did in this past offseason, even if they had Manny Machado on the payroll making, you know, $30 million a year or whatever they offered him. But I think they're in a good spot. I don't think the division is as weak as a lot of people think. You know, you have to look at the Twins, the defending champions of the division, still being a threat with all of the home runs that they hit last year. They were setting records. I don't think they're going to set many records again this year. You would expect a little bit of a pushback in the other directions, but the Twins are still going to be a really competitive team. Their rotation with Berrios, Rich Hill, Homer Bailey, it doesn't strike a ton. Odorizzi, of course, coming back. It doesn't strike a ton of fear in you outside of Berrios, who I think
arguably could make the case that he's the best pitcher in the division. But, you know, they are flawed, certainly, with their starting rotation. You look at Cleveland, who are always going to be in the race with their pitching staff. That is their strength. And they still do have, you know, Jose Ramirez and, of course, Francisco Lindor. And they've got a lot of talent as well. So it's not like the White Sox, just because they decided to spend a little bit of money here and kind of crank this thing into the next gear, it doesn't mean they're going to be coasting in to the American League Central title. It's not going to be that easy for them. Not only do a lot of things have to go right for the Sox, I think you're going to have to see some things go wrong for the Twins and the Cleveland Indians as well. But it's going to be really interesting to see how everything pans out. That's why I was really bummed yesterday that the White Sox game was canceled out in Arizona due to the rain. They were supposed to open up their spring slate against the Los Angeles Angels. That would be Joe Maddon's Los Angeles Angels. And I know it's spring training. It's one game. It doesn't mean anything. And, you know, we're never by this time next week, there will have been so many spring training games. It'll just be like one of those things. Like, you know, it's spring training. Who cares? I'll be there on opening day. But until then, but the first one yesterday, I think, you know, I was a little bit bummed that I wasn't able to watch that. But still good news in terms of Aaron Bummer signing the extension. I like that a lot. And a lot of optimism going into the year. Before we take a time out and eventually get to Jim Margulis coming up at the top of the hour, let's go out to Naperville and check in with Gary, who's got some thoughts on the Sox this morning. Good morning, Gary. What's up?
Good morning, man. How are you? Enjoy your show. Hey, I was just going to comment quickly. I think Han's done a very, very good job. And I think I think Kenny actually did all right, too. I think the difference is that Kenny had to, whatever the philosophy was, whether it was his or whether it was the organization's, it was this quick hit. Let's try to get something for next year. And they never really tore it down. Once Han came in, the decision was made to tear it down at once they gave him more power, I should say. And I think they both did all right. I think it's just a difference in philosophy. This year-by-year thing isn't working. So, and it wasn't necessarily Kenny's fault, I don't think, probably organizational thing. And once they went to a complete rebuild, I think they really have done a great job. And I'll just leave it at that and see if you want to bat that around a little bit. Enjoy your show, and hey, go Brewers and go Sox.
All right. Thanks very much, Gary. I appreciate you checking in over in Naperville. I sort of agree with you. You know, like I said earlier, I like Kenny Williams to a certain extent. I'm not going to have too much anger for a guy that brought the Sox their only World Series back in 2005, their only World Series, I should say, which like an 86-year drought at that point, whatever it is. Certainly the only one in my lifetime and the only one in a lot of lifetimes or in a lot of people's current lifetimes, I should say. So I'm not going to go too hard on Kenny Williams and him having that place in the organization. I mean, hell, at least Kenny Williams has a World Series ring to, I guess, earn him that spot as a lifetime member of the White Sox, as opposed to a guy like John Paxson, who has not done really anything as an executive, but he's been there for 17 years and it doesn't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon. I'll get into the Bulls a little bit later. I've got thoughts on that whole debacle as well. But right now, talking baseball, talking White Sox, talking Cubs as well. We'll talk more Sox at the top of the hour with Jim Margulis. But first, I do want to check in with Joe. He's on the Northwest side. He's got some Cubs thoughts. Morning, Joe. What's up, man?
Good morning, Kevin. Enjoying your show, as
Thank
always.
Thank you.
You know, I'll give a quick two-tiered statement regarding the Cubs right now. I'm pretty much expecting, you know, the Cubs in 2020 to pretty much be the same as they are in 2019, the results. Maybe a little improvement to an extent. There's still been no improvements in the leadoff spot for the Cubs. In the starting rotation, you know, you have an aging Lester right now. Question marks around Hendricks as well as Quintana. And closer Kimbrel, you know, to me, the jury's still out on him. But to get to the Cubs marquee channel this year, this is where it bothers me. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to thank Mr. Ricketts very much for phasing out his longtime, lifelong Cub fans. You know, they could have had the best of both worlds by negotiating, saying leaving X amount of games, you know, on broadcast television. But I realize, though, Kevin, there's always a price that is attached to success, you know, in my opinion. But the bottom line is Santa Claus Ricketts, you know, he cares more about filling up his sleigh, which to me is equivalent to say how the Grinch stole Christmas. So I want to wish Mr. Ricketts a happy, early, happy holidays this year by leaving a lot of Cub fans out in the December cold like myself. And, you know, you got plenty of stuffing for your sleigh coming up. But you know what, though? The Cubs could have had a better deal. They just could have took their time with this. They had to rush into something like this because there's still a lot of people out there. They're not going to be able to get the Cubs. And I'm not going to be end up putting out $100 a month for cable just to get them. But it's just a dirty shame. But Mr. Ricketts brags about how much he's one of us Cub fans. But guess what? I guess the mighty buck gets in the way of a lot of people. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you checking in up on the Northwest side. And that has been a popular opinion, not only this morning, but in the months and the weeks and all the time we've had leading up to the Marquee Network. There have been a lot of people like you, Joe, who aren't cable subscribers, who don't want to, you know, mess with a streaming service or anything like that, or sign up for a cable provider just so they're able to watch Cubs games. And that's a perfect time to remind everybody that you can hear every Cubs game this year on 670 The Score for the price of free 99. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Coming up next, we will talk to Jim Margulis. He is the, I guess you could call him the editor-in-chief. He's the front man over at Sox Machine, which is, for my money, the best White Sox blog out there right now in terms of not only content, but in terms of just really smart, nuanced baseball opinions. And we'll get a lot of those from Jim coming up next. You can also chime in all morning long at 312-644-6767 and also send us text messages at 67011. My name is Kevin Zipak. I am going to be here until 9, but up next we will talk more White Sox with Jim Margulis of Sox Machine here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.